on earth as in heaven.
Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Men everywhere recognize the power of the truth which Jesus spoke. His wise sayings are quoted from generation to generation as a testimony to the truth which he taught. "It is more blessed to give than to receive," he said, and we have all found that that statement is true. He also said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And that wise statement has become the basis of human ethics. And looking into the future, he also said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And among his words are those repeated every day by millions of people in all parts of the world. The words of a prayer which Jesus taught his disciples and that have lived through centuries of history. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven." Have you ever asked yourself, are these words true? Would Christ teach us to pray for something which would never be attained? Are his words really true in this instance, as they are in the other instances? Generations come and go. But the inequalities of human existence remains with us. Man's weaknesses, his shortcomings, his selfish materialism seems to block the way for God's will to ever possess the hearts of the human race. Nevertheless, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our selfish materialism, the hope is expressed in Jesus' prayer and remains the desire of all people. There is no doubt that the Bible supports the words of Jesus in this prayer. The Bible tells of a time to come, a time of blessing for the earth and for those who live upon it. The Bible tells of a time when the flaws of human nature will be eliminated. It tells of a time when perfect goodness and happiness will have become the heritage of man. The Bible also tells us how this happy state of existence will be attained. It tells us how long it will take to establish it, and how long it will last when once set up. And it also tells whether you or I will receive the benefits of this time of blessing. Now remember, this subject of a coming golden age is not an incidental theme of the Bible. It is the central theme of the Word of God. That is what God's plan is all about. It is the subject preached by all God's holy prophets since the world began. Read it for yourself in Acts the 3rd chapter and the 21st verse. For here we are told that all God's holy prophets since the world began tell of the time when the human race will be restored to the perfect condition that existed when our first parents fellowshiped with God in the Garden of Eden. That kingdom in Eden was predicated upon the doing of God's will. Obey and live, or disobey and die. And that same proposition will come again to all mankind. Do God's will and live, or refuse to do God's will and die and lose the blessing of the privilege of living. The Bible proposition is this: the kingdom of God existed on earth in Eden, but that kingdom was lost. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and to restore that kingdom to mankind again. The message concerning the reestablishment of this kingdom was started way back in the book of Genesis, right after that kingdom had originally been lost. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, and in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Old Testament revelation gives the history of the development of the kingdom of God. And while we have not time to read many texts of Scripture proving this, I do cite them for your own convenience. In Psalms 22, verses 26, 27, and 28, in Micah 4, verses 2, 3, and 4, in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, and in Daniel chapter 2, verses 34, 35, and 44, and in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, this kingdom message is uttered and re-uttered for our instruction and our admonition. And the New Testament picks up and develops this theme, and shows the part that Jesus Christ plays in the plan of God. At Jesus' birth, the message was heralded, as recorded in Luke, the second chapter, and verses 9 through 14, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Christ had to be born before peace could be established. Before the blessings of the golden age can come, man has to be reconciled to God. Man has been alienated from God ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since Adam's disobedience. And the way back to God, the way back to peace with Him, the way back to reconciliation is through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Let me explain that. It is easy to understand. The Bible record is very clear. It simply says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible says, as by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men for that all have sinned, so by the obedience of one shall the free gift come unto all men to justification of life. Thus the peace of reconciliation to those living on earth is assured. For Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, and the record is that Christ is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. In Ephesians, the first chapter, and verses 9 and 10, we read these words concerning God, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Goodwill toward men is also a part of the message given at Christ's birth. And carrying out the Bible theme, we know that this also will be accomplished not by the feeble efforts of imperfect men, but by the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is the gospel. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message that Jesus Christ preached while He was upon the earth. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, in the 35th verse, we read, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." And also, may I read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians. In chapter 1, verses 6 and 8, 6, 7 and 8, I read, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so with interest, we turn to the third chapter of Galatians and the eighth verse, where we read what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So again, the Old Testament theme of blessing all the families of the earth is given to us in the New Testament as the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some may want to know why the Lord has not fulfilled these promises long ago. The reason is this. He wanted some of the human race to have the privilege of assisting him in bringing about this happy state of affairs. He did not need us, remember. He wanted us. He did not need wealthy men, although wealth itself was not to be the bar to this group. He said, not many wise, not many rich, not many noble, not many mighty, not many great, mostly the poor of this world, rich in faith. Yes, he wants those rich in faith who are faithful and devoted and consecrated to him as a people to be prepared to assist him to live and to reign with him in the establishment of his kingdom. So, since Pentecost, he has been preparing this group, and they shall be associated with him. In all, they are only a little flock, but what an honor will be given to those who are found worthy. These are spoken of in Revelation, the 20th chapter, and from the 4th through the 6th verses in these words. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This text tells us of the reward of the church, but it tells us more than that. It introduces us to what is known as the millennium. Millennium means 1,000 years. It is a future time when Christ and his church together will reign for 1,000 years, for the purpose of establishing his kingdom on earth, even as it is in heaven. It is the time when men shall be restored to perfection. The Apostle Paul describes the establishment of this kingdom and the result of that establishment in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 24th, 25th, and 26th verses in these words. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Thus speaking of himself, he told of his death, and his return to do a future work. Time fails me to tell of his many parables and his many promises of this kingdom. I quote only one, where he says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He was not here talking to his church. To them, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now note the contrast. No wonder he wanted his message carried on, and no wonder he asked us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven." Because all the holy prophets have spoken of it, because the apostles believed it, because Jesus Christ taught it, and because of those things we conclude that it behooves all of us in our searching for truth to consider the hope that the time will come through the reign of Christ when our prayer will be answered and when God's will be done as fully on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, right here on earth. But some are bound to say, or at least think, if this is so clearly taught in the Bible, why is this not the hope of all Christian people? Why do so few Christian people believe it? And they so uninfluential that theirs is like a voice crying in the wilderness? And that is a good question. May I answer? Do you have an Encyclopedia Britannica available? If so, may I suggest that you read the article on the word millennium? This article will give the historical background of how this great fundamental truth concerning the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth through the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ and his church was lost after apostolic days, lost in the Roman incubator of religious errors. I'm going to quote now a few excerpts from the Encyclopedia Britannica for your pleasure and, I believe, for your information. And I quote, "The establishment of the reign of Christ in glory on the earth was undoubtedly a strong point in the ancient primitive Christian church." End of quote. That is so. Thank God it is still a strong point in the faith of those who stand for the truth today. All right, I quote again. "These enthusiastic expectations were inseparably bound up with the Christian faith down to the middle of the second century. After that, they were gradually thrust into the background." End of quote. Now, why would this be done? Why would the hope of Christ establishing his kingdom to bless mankind, to raise the dead, to give them an opportunity of life through Jesus Christ, why should that be forced into the background? Can you figure that one out? Well, let me quote again from the Encyclopedia Britannica. "But more than this, these wild dreams about the glorious kingdom of Christ began to disturb the organization which the church had seen fit to introduce." End of quote. Now, what was being introduced by the church? And why should the gospel of the kingdom run counter to their actions? Listen, and again I quote from the Encyclopedia. "Augustine was the first who ventured to teach that the Catholic Church, in its empirical form, was the kingdom of Christ." End of quote. But, there is the rub. Thus, the first step was taken in the establishment of the Holy Roman hierarchy. Thus was substituted a man in Rome for the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus was substituted a religious hierarchy for the kingdom of God, and thus was a step taken away from truth and into the mire of ecclesiastical sectarian error. Everyone should know that what we have in the world today is not Christ's kingdom. We know that God's will isn't being done on earth now as it is in heaven, not with graft and greed and selfishness and hate and death and sorrow and tears and alcoholism and all the rest of it. But we also know that when God's kingdom is on the earth, God's will be done as it is in heaven. No, Christ's kingdom did not come when Augustine wanted to have men revere him. It will come through the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Yet dating back to Augustine's day, we term what we have in the world today Christendom. That is Christ's kingdom. But the student of God's Word hears the Master cry, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this age where truth is on the scaffold and where error is on the throne." But when one takes a step into the morass of error, forgetting the admonition to teach only by the power of a "Thus saith the Lord," the muddy waters of tradition continue to obscure the beauty and the grandeur of truth. And so I again quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica. "The main doctrines of the creeds became the visible advent of Christ and eternal misery and hellfire for the wicked." End of quote. Thank God we now wear this hellfire and brimstone doctrine came from. And remember, the answer is authenticated by the editorial board of the Encyclopedia Britannica. These errors could not appear as long as the gospel of the kingdom was preached. These doctrines were impossible as long as the purity of the gospel was maintained. But hellfire was needed to scare the daylights out of the people to do the church's bidding. And how could they have hellfire as long as they had the truth of the kingdom and of God's will being done in earth as fully as it is in heaven? So the truth had to be pushed into the background. "Bless all nations" had to lose ground. "Blister all nations" had to be brought to the fore, and hellfire was put into the hands of an apostate clergy to be used as a whip. And it has been used as a whip. And how could the idea, the error, that God was going to destroy the earth be put over as another whip if the people held to the truth that the earth is to be the everlasting home of man? It was not Scripture they were quoting when they said, "That day of wrath, that dreadful day when heaven and earth shall pass away, oh, what shall be the sinner's stay? How shall he meet that dreadful day?" How could that be put over to scare the people into supporting an erroneous system and still teach, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool," as the Bible says, and in another place where it says, "And I will make the place of my feet glorious"? So away with the truth, into the background with the truth, bring forth error and enthrone it in the creeds of men. And now one last quotation from the Encyclopedia Britannica. The German and Swiss reformers took the same ground in this respect which the Roman Catholic Church had occupied since Augustine. And so today, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But I thought that you, as thoughtful people, would like to know how and why we lost the hope of the time to come when God's will be done as fully in earth as it is in heaven. We were robbed by those who wanted to have undue honor heaped upon themselves. You and I are living in the time of the end of this age, a time when knowledge of the Word of God is increasing. The creeds have had their day, a time when it is due to revive apostolic hope, a time to restore the truths which Christ gave to the early church. And so we have restored to us this pearl of great truth that is unstained by Augustine mud, the truth that the kingdom of God will have its consummation through the future reign of Jesus Christ and His church, that the full purpose of God will be attained, and when He delivers up the kingdom to God, even the Father, every man shall be restored to his own possession, and God will have His will done in earth as it is in heaven. And that is the hope of the kingdom of God, and certainly we can look forward to that time as a time of jubilation. In Revelation, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse, we read, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every kindred and nation and tongue and people." And also in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3, 4, and 5, concerning that everlasting gospel, we read, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." The promise of this kingdom is the inherent glory of the message of the gospel. It is the goodness. It is the good news. It is the glad tidings of salvation. This is God's life-giving message to a dying world. Let us thank Him for the hope that He has given us in the Word of God. And let us determine that we will be more faithful in telling others of the goodness of our God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let us continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven."